Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I don't know what your business is or your busyness is today, but if you can take the time to settle around the Word of God, gather around the Word of God with us today. I am so just filled with anticipation of what God is going to do when all of those barriers to His blessings are removed in our lives. What He has promised and purposed in His Word is so much more than so many of us are experiencing today. And I believe God wants to keep every promise. I believe they are yea and amen to them that believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when we go to God's Word and we see His promises, then we see what He has purposed to do in our life. Everything He's purposed, He has revealed it through a promise. I want to say that again. Everything that God has purposed in our life, He has revealed that purpose in a promise. Praise God. So we have so much promised us, and the avenue by which these promises are received is that avenue of effective prayer. And we're going to be talking in just a few minutes about the awesome power of answered prayer. Not just the power of prayer, but the power of answered prayer. Prayer is really useless without God responding when we pray. But when God responds when we pray and prayers are answered, God is glorified and His purposes and His promises are realized in our life. Praise God. Well, I'm excited about this message because I need answers to my prayers. And I need the verification that the God that I'm calling on is the true and the living God. And Jesus is His Son and our Savior. And there's power when we pray in faith in the name of Jesus according to the will of God. Prayers can be answered. Praise the Lord. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you today. We just got a letter recently from Germany, someone who listens to the broadcast, actually, on WMAF as it streams on the World Wide Web. Just to let you folks know in Madison, North Florida, that there are people in Germany that listen to the radio station. 6-hour time difference, I understand, but they hear it at a time when they hear this broadcast, they hear the station, and we're glad to be on a station that is utilizing the World Wide Web because it allows the gospel to go beyond the United States, to go beyond North America, and to reach nations all around the world. Praise God. There are other fine ministries that are local right there in Madison that are utilizing radio that is connected to the World Wide Web. And just an encouragement to those ministers that the gospel is going to places that we could never in and of ourselves go necessarily. But God is taking His Word where He would send it. And so you're sowing the seed in good ground. Hallelujah. Right here on WMAF. And we appreciate the opportunity to minister to you wherever and whenever you are hearing this broadcast. Amen. And if you are just come to our website and have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus as we follow this series of teachings, we welcome you today. As we gather around the Word of God, the subject we're dealing with is a subject that we really, really, really need to get deep into. And I've heard all my life about the power of prayer, the power of prayer. Sometimes we can just think of that as just the power of praying. If I pray every day, if I pray strong enough, if I pray long enough, if I incorporate a time of prayer in my life, and that's all there is to it. If I just do that, all God has purposed, all He has promised can be realized. Well, the problem with that is that prayers are not just to be prayed. They are to be heard And this is the confidence, the New Testament says, that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if He hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him. And if there's anything in our heart, anything in our life, not just the will of God, but other things that are out of the will of God in our life that would hinder our prayers from being answered, we need to remove those barriers to blessings. We have to get very, very honest with God, honest with each other, honest with ourselves, if we're going to remove these barriers. Sometimes it is painful to address some of these things to our flesh, but it opens the door for God's blessings in our life, for Him to be glorified as prayers are answered, and for us to receive the good that He has promised, purposed, and revealed by promise to us today. So if you have your Bibles, I want to read our text for this teaching. It is out of James 5 and verse 16. Listen to it carefully. It says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then it goes on to say in verse 17 that Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Last week we talked about the hindrance of sin itself, unconfessed sin in our life. It says in Isaiah 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." Now, we have so much to say about that, and let's just get right down to where the rubber meets the road today. The Bible said in the New Testament in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we're not being honest with God or with each other, with ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we lie. It's just a lie. It's just an untruth. It's not true. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity, all unrighteousness, if we confess our sins. Amen. Initially, that great gap between us and God was bridged by the cross and the blood of Jesus, and the righteousness we receive as a result of His sacrifice is positional righteousness. We have a standing with God that we can only have. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not earning that positional righteousness. We become sons of God, daughters of God. We're brought into the royal family. We have positional righteousness, but God's requirement for righteousness for relationship is one thing. That's positional. But the righteousness He requires for fellowship, which is secondary but so vitally important, is personal righteousness. It's being right with God in attitude and activity. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I am talking about a desire to be truly open and honest so that we can be right with God. We say it over and over in our congregation, and they're so used to it that when I start to say it, they repeat it. I'll say part of it and they will finish it in unison. There's nothing wrong. And then in unison, they will respond in getting right with God. Amen. You can't add anything to positional righteousness that establishes relationship. Now we are the sons of God. The Scripture's very clear. We cry, Abba, Father. But fellowship, that fellowship relationship, that place in Him where He can answer prayer because the hindrances in the heart and the life have been removed. That's what we are pursuing. Amen. Because God has purposed and revealed by promises so much to His children today. And there seems to be so little in many cases occurring to bring glory to Him, to distinguish Him as the true and the living God, and to distinguish us as prayers are answered as His children, His chosen, His covenant people. And I believe God wants to open the floodgates of heaven, open the windows of heaven, hallelujah, and pour us out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for us to contain it. So last week we talked about the necessity of dealing with sin, if there's unconfessed sin, to go before God and get that issue dealt with. And today, we're going to talk about idolatry. We're going to talk about idols in the heart. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't have an idol in my home. Well, we're not talking about what you got sitting in your garden or your living room. We're talking about what is occurring in the heart. Amen. Listen to what God said to covenant Israel in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 14, verse 3 through 5. He said, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. They have put right before their faces and the stumbling block of iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity. And then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter to view of the multitude of his idols. In view of the multitude of his idols, in order to lay hold on the hearts of the house of Israel, who were estranged from me through all their idols. That's a mouthful. I probably read it too fast. But he said, idols in the heart will cause Israel to be estranged from me. You see, it doesn't begin in the home. It begins in the heart. But if it starts in the heart, it'll end up in the home. It'll end up in the life. So God wants to be our first love and the supreme object of our affection. An idol in the heart is anything that ascends to take over the throne of our heart, demoting God from His rightful place of being our first love. The Hebrew verb for idol means to set up, to be lifted up, to impose, to pride oneself. An idol in the heart of the believer results in the estrangement of the believer from God. See, we're not talking about relationship. He wasn't even talking about here. He said these are covenant people. But when the idols are brought into the heart, then they are estranged from me. An idol in the heart results in the estrangement of the believer. Not the relationship that is broken, but the fellowship is broken. It breaks the intimate fellowship that God wants to have with the nation, national Israel, and every believer, every person. Amen. It is so important that we understand what God equates with idolatry. In the New Testament, it talks about covetousness, which is idolatry. When I want what someone else has, I covet it. I spend my time, my energy going after it. It has taken a place in my heart that is causing all of my priorities to be disarranged as a Christian. I need a heart that is set on the kingdom of God. I need a heart that is set on God Himself. And if that occurs, all of this compromising that is being made, where time and energy is given to obtain the things that I covet in this world to satisfy my flesh, rather than the things that I desire in God. If I would put God first, He said He's going to take care of everything. Amen. He's going to so fill me with His Spirit, so fill me with fulfillment of a fellowship relationship with Him, I love that song when that happens. It says that says literally that the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His mercy and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world that vie for my attention, my energy, my money, my time, my heart, literally, grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh, how we need to set our affections on things above. That's what it said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It said, if you be risen with Christ, if you have been saved, if you have been born from above, born again, born of the Spirit, seek those things above where God, Christ, sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not the things of the earth. Amen. If you don't set your affections, if you don't give your heart to the Lord, the world and the world system and Satan through that world system and the weakness of all of our mortal flesh is going to make a bid for your heart and your affections. That's why Jesus taught, amen, to lay up your treasure in heaven. where you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. So make a commitment and of your heart and your affections. Set your affections on things above and not things beneath. And verse 4 of Colossians 3 said to mortify your members upon the earth. In other words, crucify the flesh with the lust thereof. Don't let the flesh rule you. Amen. Let your spirit that has been renewed and regenerated and awakened to God's kingdom and God's presence. Amen. Let your spirit man pursue the things of the Spirit deep. Is calling to deep today in the hearts and lives of God's children all over this world. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I want more. I want to hear more and more about Jesus. I can watch CNN. I can watch Oprah. I can watch this movie. I can get involved in this. I can get involved in that. But my heart longs for Him. That was the driving force and focus of the Apostle Paul's fellowship relationship with God. He couldn't get enough. He wanted more. He said, oh, that I might know Him. Praise God. He cried out for more of that intimate knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. He said, I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings that I might also know Him in the power of His resurrection. Praise God. In fact, He said, I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and Him crucified. The love that was demonstrated and displayed when He stayed on that cross. Amen. And all of the blessings and benefits of that sacrificial death and that resurrected life, He said, I want to pursue a deeper knowledge of the God who would give His Son and the Son who would give His life. And the more he got to know God through that fellowship relationship with Him, the more his faith in the love of God that held him steady through every trial and every test and everything that held through at him. He said, I'm persuading there's nothing. Death, life, angels, principalities, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might know Him to that degree that nothing can shake us. Nothing can take away our peace, our joy, our sense of purpose in this old fallen world. Praise God. Amen. We need to make sure there is nothing and there is no one in our heart that is vying for first place. God not just demands that place of us. He deserves it. He is our Creator and our Savior, and no one should hold the place in our heart that He does. If you be risen with Christ, if you've been born from above, born again, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Amen. Listen very carefully to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 27 through 33. As we get near the end of this quick moving broadcast here today, Jesus said, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles speak, literally the unregenerate, unsaved, that do not know Christ, do not see the kingdom of God, do not seek the kingdom of God. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom." See, here's that first place priority. This is where every idol must go, and God must have that place in our heart. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." One great hindrance to answered prayer is idols in the heart. And when those idols are torn down, cast away, and God takes His place in our heart, He said, "You'll seek me above everything else, and when you do, you're going to find me." Praise God. Hallelujah. And prayers will be answered when the kingdom of God is first in our heart and first in our life. According to Deuteronomy 4 and 24, He wants us for Himself. It declares that God is a jealous God. Why? Why does He want to be first? Why does He demand and desire that absolute place in our life? It's because He knows so many other things will try to press themselves and push themselves into that place. If we don't give Him that exclusivity, if we don't give Him that priority, the heart is going to go wandering, and the heart is going to find other things to set itself upon. Amen. He's not trying to make it harder for us to serve Him. He's trying to make it easier for us to serve Him. When He has first place in our heart, it's not hard to say no to the things of this world. They actually do grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If believers are to seek God, they must do so having no other competitor in their hearts. Here's what R.A. Torrey said, and he said it very clearly and succinctly, and I'm going to quote him today on this issue of idols in the heart. He said, "One great question for us to decide, if we would have power in prayer, is God absolutely first? Is He before wife, before children, before reputation, before business, before our own lives?" And here's what he said. "If not, prevailing prayer is impossible." You see, to teach just faith or positive confession alone, they have a place. They have a prominent place, but they don't hold first place. Attitudes of the heart become prominent and prevalent and become of utmost importance when we are dealing with God, because before He listens to what we were saying, He's looking at our heart. And the Bible said there's nothing hid from the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. It may be painful at first. to deal with these issues in our life, to say, Lord, what takes my time? What takes my money? What takes my focus? What do I spend my energy on? What motivates me more in life than anything else? And if it isn't God and His kingdom in first place, then we have to get real honest about it and say, Lord, You're not first in my life. I'm going to be upfront and honest. I'm not going to pretend that You are when I know that You're not. Oh God, I want a clean heart. Lord, I want a right spirit within me. I want to be in a position that when I call upon You, that there is no barrier between me and You in terms of our fellowship. I want to be able to cry unto You and have You respond unto me. I want to cast down every idol. I want to cast down everything that is vying for that first place in my life, and I want to give it to You. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms that said that He is the Lord God of Israel, and He inhabits the praises of His people. It literally means He's enthroned, and you can't have anyone else sitting in that place on that throne but God Himself, but Christ Himself. And one translator says, when we worship God from the heart, we build a throne for Him. And when we praise Him from the heart, He comes and takes His place, His rightful place upon the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's not just following the choir and singing the song. It's not just giving mental assent to the Scripture. It's giving God first place in our life. And when we do, we open the door for God to bless us, for God to answer our prayers. You see, idols in the heart is part of what we started with in this teaching, dealing effectively with sin that separates, getting that negative and that barrier between us and our God. He said, "My ear is not heavy, Israel. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. My hand is not short that it can't reach you. It's not weak that it cannot deliver you. But your sins, my sins, our sins separate between us and our God." This is not in the New Covenant sense of works that qualifies for salvation. This is works and attitudes that are corrected that qualifies for blessing. There's a vast difference between just being saved and being sanctified. Amen. Cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God today. And I pray that there will be so many of us that get right with God and get rid of the idols in our heart, that God can do wonderful, mighty things to our good and to His wonderful glory. Hallelujah. Well, our time is gone. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, the Bible said that you're without God and without hope in this present world. All of that can change the moment you confess your sins and receive Christ as your personal Savior. And when you do, there is a relationship established with God. Immediately, you are forgiven, accepted into His kingdom, into His royal family. Hallelujah. And all of the purposes and promises He's made become yea and amen to you. They're yours in Christ to receive. Then you can call upon Him in the time of trouble, and He will deliver you, and He will receive glory as He answers your prayer. Oh, friend, come to Jesus today. Receive the salvation that you need and the help that you need in this old fallen world. Come to Christ today. And if you're a Christian today and there's an idol in your heart, tear that bad boy down. Tear that sucker down right now, right here, and say, "Jesus, My allegiance is to you first and foremost. I need my prayers answered. I need my family saved. I need my body healed. I need my business blessed. Oh, God will do wonderful things. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.